Welcome to the game.
It's a beautiful thing.
With Mark Duffield.
By golly gosh.
The son of a darkened shearer and a self-described ball-playing jack-of-all-trades.
We shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Who lit up footy fields in the southwest before becoming WA's preeminent AFL scribe.
My goodness.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
A proud Victorian parked permanently in the west who would have played 300 AFL games if not for his incredibly small hands.
Goodness gracious me.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
And this is your favourite footy podcast.
It's unbelievable.
Hello, everybody. Thursday, so time for the Duff and Quarters podcast, second edition this week. In the studio, we have Josh Garlop, sound effects man extraordinaire. We have Golden Tonsils Reddings. We have Small Hands Quatermain and son of a darkened shearer, Duffield. All right, guys, we're ploughing on through the season. We're getting there. We are brought to you again by Tab Touch. You can get closer to the AFL action with Tab Touch. Please gamble responsibly. Please call Gambler's Help on 1800 858 858. How are we enjoying the Olympics, fellas?
Good. My role's a bit different this year because I'm effectively on what's called the backbench for the general pages of the West Australian. So I'm working a later shift and bringing it home. I'm the fourth leg of the relay in the Olympic coverage, if you like.
Well, interesting you should say that, because the Sure Things that are in the pool just got rolled, our 4x200 metre freestyle women.
Yeah, disappointing, but I guess we were due some disappointment in the pool. And I say disappointment, it's still a bronze medal.
And they all went under the world record.
Yeah, the Chinese winning the world record. Leah Neal was the anchor, which surprisingly to some, you would have thought Ariane Titmus, given her aura that she's now created over there in Tokyo, may have been the final leg. But even still, she kicked off the relay for Australia and didn't touch first.
I'm intrigued by the tactics in this, why they did it. Look, they do name their teams overnight, but I'm not sure whether they can change the positioning of them during the race, but I can only assume they're a little bit cooked because they have had big campaigns.
Yeah, and look, it's being drawing a comparison to footy, as we know, but the four swimmers who got Australia into the final comfortably, none of them appeared in the final. A bit like if you've got four guns waiting in the wings to come back from injury or suspension in the AFL, you're not going to leave them out of the equation.
Tamsin Cook, I don't think we're surprised. And great effort by Tamsin, only back in the pool 10 months, a West Australian girl. Brianna Throssell, probably a little bit more surprised. She was in the world record 4x2 relay they swam. So maybe a little bit more surprised with her not being in as opposed to Leah.
I'll tell you, there was a bit of consternation with Molly O'Callaghan, who broke the junior world record in the heat. She didn't get in. Her mum questioned why, and it's all understandable. They're swimming for the country.
You still get a bronze medal, Skeet. You still get the medal in a private ceremony afterwards. You don't stand on the podium.
No, I don't think she swam in the heat.
She didn't swim in the heat. Oh, well, then she doesn't get a medal.
Yeah, so I think that probably would be what the concern was. The heat swimmers swam very well. You would have to think that McKeon and Titmus were a little bit off today, because we put our fastest two in one and two, and we still weren't first when the third leg went in.
McKeon set an Olympic record, over 100, certainly in the 100-metre free, and Titmus has been amazing. So, you know, we're standing here, they're still all on world record pace, won a bronze medal, and we're being slightly critical, I guess. So it's
pretty good. I have to say, I've just spoken about an hour and a half on Let's Go Tokyo about Olympics. I want to talk some footy.
So do I. Okay. So do I.
All right, so round 20, we have an updated fixture.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay, so the Gold Coast Suns versus Melbourne, which was scheduled to be played at 3:10 p.m. on Saturday, July 31st, will take place at Metricon Stadium. The AFL with Melbourne have agreed to strict travel arrangements and other protocols as approved by the Queensland government. Melbourne will fly into the Gold Coast for the match on Saturday via a charter flight. After the match, Melbourne will then travel to Western Australia via charter flight to commence a quarantine period ahead of their round 21 match against the West Coast Eagles, with permissions to train and play in line with WA government directions. And you have some information on what they will do when they get here.
Yeah, I do. So it's It's not over the line yet, but I believe Joondalup Resort, which is the preferred location for visiting teams for that week's quarantine, isn't available for all 7 days. So they may have to move to a CBD hotel for part of that. Now, if that's the case, we believe that Optus Stadium has made a significant corporate area available at Optus Stadium for them to move out of their CBD hotels and relax. And one of their sponsors, one of Melbourne's sponsors, Red Bull, is decking it out, I'm told, with a golf simulator, table tennis, and some other video games. This is at Optus Stadium. So what I'm saying is they'll train as normal, but you can't lock them in a room for 7 days. So it'll be almost a sterile corridor between the CBD hotel and Optus Stadium, the corporate areas that they'll have for the Melbourne Footy Club.
What happened to the AFL booking at Joondalup Resort through the months of August, September?
Well, this is not confirmed yet, but we're told at this stage that it's not available for all 7 days.
And bear in mind, Perth Now just posting something, this could be completely irrelevant and not of any consequence to us when it comes to the AFL, but a positive case reportedly flew from Queensland to Perth with COVID I'm talking about. Okay. So, look,
we feel
safe and secure at the moment. We know, Duff and Quarters, we are one slip away from being maybe not as nowhere near as bad as Sydney and New South Wales, but maybe in a tenuous position when it comes to the freedoms we
horrible
enjoy.
Numbers in Sydney today, yep. Too. Our thoughts go to all our friends over in the eastern seaboard and particularly those in New South Wales. Hope you get through this.
So what it means just off the back of that fixture confirmation, boys, is that from my reckoning, we'll have two games in WA next weekend because the Brisbane Lions game against the Dockers, which was scheduled to be played, of course, yes, earlier this year here, is now going to be played, I believe, on the Sunday afternoon,
yep,
at Optus Stadium. And so, therefore, a Saturday afternoon or night game for Melbourne looms.
Yeah, would it have to be a night game? They've got to get, well, hang on, they have to get here by midnight
on
Saturday.
Which they can do.
Yeah.
And what time's the game at Metricon on Saturday?
This is Gold Coast Suns versus Melbourne.
Yeah.
3:10 p.m.
Eastern.
Yep.
So that's 1:10. So, yeah, they could catch a 7 o'clock flight, okay, for instance, and get here very much in time,
so,
you think.
So there you go. So the rest of the round.
GWS versus Port Adelaide, scheduled to be played at 3:10 p.m. on Sunday, August 1, will take place at Metricon Stadium. The AFL, together with Port Adelaide, have agreed to strict travel arrangements and other protocols as approved by the Queensland Government. Port Adelaide will fly into the Gold Coast from Melbourne for the match on Sunday via charter flight. After the match, Port Adelaide will return to South Australia.
Yeah. You have to be adaptable, swift, versatile, all of those things. It's where we're at the moment.
I think we'll get there. And look, the question – yeah, I think we'll get there. I think the question now remains is – and it's ongoing, but what happens? The finals are at the end of the horizon, and they're getting closer. They're getting really close. So the AFL with Melbourne in mind, with crowds, et cetera, what version are we looking at for September? Forget the grand final just yet, but what?
I wouldn't want to speculate yet. I think it's too hard. We just got to wait and see what the.
Well, given
let's see what happens here.
Given Brisbane potentially can host finals, we can host finals, yeah, here. South Australia maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, then at least there are three states that are viable, and then hopefully Victoria by that point will be in a position where even with reduced capacity crowd can get a final off the ground.
Well, I know it's early in the podcast and we usually do it a little bit later on, but this sounds like a good segue into the Biggie Juice juicy topic of the week, brought to you by Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops.
It was all a dream.
Juicy topic of the week.
So I think Ned Kelly and his gang and the blacksmiths are there, and they're forging, as we speak, a ring of steel around the MCG, Duff.
A ring of steel? That reminds me of an old song from times gone by a very famous country and western artist.
Mm. Yes.
It's the old ring of fire.
I would have liked
often
a little
experienced
bit more of that
after a hot curry. All right.
Oh, it's a little bit.
I went and saw
that.
Johnny Cash once in Los Angeles.
Did you?
He was about 80 years of age, I think.
He died at 71, so that would have been
dead. There you go.
He was the bearer of bad news, but it was an impersonator.
He was Johnny Cash, but I reckon he might have been younger than 71.
he did look older than 71, but he was 71.
It was the House of Blues, it was. And I can reassure you, it was him, but you're right.
He'd been front and centre for a while, though, Johnny Cash.
That's some hard yards. But nice pickup there, Duff. Thank you.
Oh dear.
My favourite song,
yes,
is a Johnny Cash song, but it's actually not one of his more known ones, it's When the Man Comes Around, which I think is one of the great songs.
Yeah, I'm not a big Johnny Cash fan, I'll be totally honest.
I'm not a huge fan, but I saw Tex from Tex Perkins do his show. It was brilliant. And so we bought the CD after that, you know, as you do. Anyway, every time we go on a road trip with the family, the kids, we play a bit of Johnny Cash just to launch us into the mood of the holiday.
Which brings us to the discussion at hand.
The Ring of Steel. What is the Ring of Steel?
So they're talking about a circle around the MCG. So what we're saying is we want to try and beat COVID. We want to try and get 50 to 100,000 in for grand final day. Batman Avenue, Punt Road, Wellington Parade, that will be the perimeter. They're talking 200 COVID testing locations for players, officials and fans. There'll be those rapid antigen tests, so the results are known within 10 minutes, and it'll be linked to an attendee's ticket at QR tracing. So whether it's possible or not, that's what they're talking about right now. So, you know, watch this space for that one.
Isn't there a greater incentive to get football lovers to a grand final? That's the vaccine passport. I mean, yep. Look, the idea of Eddie, I love the fact ideas are coming out and I've got nothing against it because we're all trying to get a resolution and a pathway forward. But the most simplistic way, let's be honest, I'm a month away from getting my second. Boys are in the same boat, I believe.
Yep.
Surely, and then there might be some parts of the community that are struggling to get vaccines, but to get this off the ground this year, isn't that a more simplistic way?
The vaccine passport for me is the way to go. I realise that will exclude a few people who haven't been able to access the vaccine, but you're better off having only a certain group of people who are able to go as opposed to no people being able to
go. There's also people who aren't allowed to have the vaccine because of blood clotting issues. Yep. So you've got to look at that. But yeah, I agree. I think that's the way to go for everything, really, having a vaccine passport. I'm talking interstate travel, overseas travel.
Well, wouldn't those people be able to get Pfizer? AstraZeneca is the one.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yes, possibly, but there are cases where people just can't have the vaccine full stop.
Yep.
And so for them, there's got to be a way around that.
So effectively the AFL will have to go to the state government and the health authorities in that state. If this is all hypothetical, look, whether it happens or not, they have to get this ticked off by health authorities as to a possible way of whether it's concerts, AFL grand final, you name it, events that Eddie's talking about to get Victoria vibrant and the sporting capital of the world back in vogue again, that has to get the tick from those relevant authorities.
Well, they're Big Group and Respond Global are the organisations who are looking at putting this together. Now, they're also looking at the Melbourne Cup Carnival, obviously significant for Victoria, and the Australian Open Tennis. 2 to 2.5 million to sort of create this Ring of Steel and all the protocols around it. So I'm not sure if 2 to 2.5 is a fair bit of money for one event, but if we're talking about getting the protocols around that, the Spring Carnival and the tennis, then I think that's feasible.
It's going to be difficult for the Spring Carnival because the Spring Carnival spread over three racecourses.
Yeah.
Well, the Spring Carnival, I think, in essence, is
four races.
Derby Day, Cup Day, Oaks Day. They're the three.
Four races at Flemington.
And the family days are Saturday. So I think they're talking more about that when idiots like myself go across and spend a week in Melbourne and have a good time. I think that's the Spring Carnival per se they're talking about as opposed to Caulfield Cup and Cox Plate. But look, why not examine that? I mean, but are we going to be able to – do we have time to get this vaccine passport or anything under the jurisdiction and given it the all clear?
Well, we've still got 2 months, and a lot can change in 2 months too. Like in 2 months' time, Melbourne might be well and truly out of lockdown. We may be looking at crowds of between 50 and 75%.
And so off the back of that, 60,000, if they can get that to the MCG – we know they can get that to Optus Stadium. Mm-hmm. Do they go with 60 at the MCG with, of course, the contract being in place, which I
assume, well, they have to if they can get 60 at the
if
MCG.
If they get 60, they're obliged to.
Of course they do.
Anything less, what do you do?
No, I think 50% will be enough to get it played at the MCG.
So 50,000?
I think so. I think 50,000 over there versus 60,000 here, and they have to upend contracts, they have to appease state governments, et cetera, et cetera. That'll be enough for them to say we can go with it at the MCG. That's just my educated guess, but I think if we look at past behaviours, I think that's the way.
But if there's a way to stage it at the MCG, they will find a way to stage it at the MCG.
Mm. Yeah. And even this Ring of Steel, it shows you how desperate Melbourne is to not lose the second grand final in as many years.
Yeah, and look, you'd understand that if you were living in Victoria, you'd want that and something to look forward to. So I get that. But, let's hope they can – I'm not sure the Ring of Steel is going to be practically workable. the other method we've talked about, I think, is
why can't it be a ring of Teflon? It doesn't have to be a ring of steel.
Ring of aluminium.
A ring of aluminium.
Exactly. Slightly more flexible, lighter.
Or aluminum. You're in America.
Imagine keeping some of those footy supporters outside the ring of steel.
So, look, the other news today that I think has piqued my interest is the ban on boxing. So the AFL obviously conducted an inquiry, and Hawthorn conducted an inquiry through WorkSafe into that incident where Mitch Lewis was concussed during a spar with Jacob Kaczynski. He missed about 3 weeks for that. So they looked into it. WorkSafe's cleared Hawthorn, by the way, but the AFL's come down and said there'll be no more sparring. You can punch into pads, but there'll be no more one-on-one sparring during AFL training sessions. So I think it's a bit of overkill, to be honest.
Absolutely. In my mind, so that, bear in mind, those two Hawthorn players weren't wearing protective headgear.
No, they weren't. Well, that was stupid.
Yeah, so that let's put that to one side.
So why isn't WorkSafe doing something about that?
Well,
you'd have to ask WorkSafe.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking from a more practical point of view. I think boxing is regarded historically and across all forms of sport as one way to really help your aerobic capacity and build up an endurance element. I think it's an overkill. I think that certainly take more safeguards around it, but not banning it.
And anyone who's done a little bit of sparring, I mean, there's a difference between punching into some pads and actually doing some sparring. So for aerobic fitness, it's pretty important at various stages of the pre-season and in-season.
Yeah, I'll play devil's advocate here. I think that – so I was at a club in the 80s that did boxing, but a big part of that was that we were in a competition where there was actually a pretty reasonable chance of being in a punch-up on the ground. And if you were a young player, it was considered an important part of building your confidence that you could hold your own in those situations and at least defend yourself. There is virtually zero chance of being involved in a punch-up on an AFL field now. And there are so many ways to do your aerobic fitness.
But that's not the reason they do it, though, Doug.
No, it's for aerobic fitness.
The reason is nothing to do with getting involved in a fight.
Yeah, no, absolutely it was. In the
Not now.
I know. But my point is that maybe it is obsolete. Maybe it is obsolete.
Hey, by the way,
there is no footy skill that pertains to punching someone.
By the way, there's just as much chance of you going out and getting into a fight post game, all the clowns that are out there in the public. So maybe they do need to learn how to.
I've got no. I disagree with Duff on this one. I think it's proven. It's a really good way to get your aerobic fitness up. Nothing to do with any form of violence. But there should be better protective mechanisms put in place moving forward.
There are, because they're not allowed to spar anymore. That's it. And Bevo, Luke Beveridge's, bless him, has come out today.
What's he said?
Don't tell us what to do.
Yeah.
Well, look, there is so much angst around head injuries and concussion. Mm-hmm. Let's say Mitch Lewis does have some ongoing effects from this. Mitch Lewis would have Hawthorn and the AFL dead to rights in a litigation.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that.
He'd have them absolutely dead to rights.
It was one incident and it was obviously poorly executed, and I'm not sure how they got away with it through WorkSafe. But as long as it's policed, as you say, Skeet, I think
it's complete overkill. And that's just,
I think that, like, one of Hawthorne's explanations was that they were only supposed to be punching to the body, which raises two questions with me. One, well, if they were only punching to the body, how did he get hit in the head? And two, they were saying, well, he got hit in the head because he ducked. Well, if they're only punching to the body, why was he ducking?
Maybe he was like Andrew Gaff. He couldn't box. He just was an unlucky one.
Why was he ducking? So if you're going to spar, sooner or later someone's going to get hit. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Well, it's like saying concussion in football, that's going to happen as well. It's going
to
happen.
But when it happens, you have to be able to defend yourself. Like a person who suffered a head injury at training because they were boxing, his lawyer is going to stand up there and say, what skill in football were you practicing here? And they'll say, oh, well, no, there's no boxing in football. Well, why were you practicing this then? And bang, here, write an open check. So I think this is just a classic case of the AFL – protecting
covering
itself
its
against
on.
And I would much prefer we lived in a world where people could spar, but in this environment, I don't think we do.
Mm. Yeah, well, I disagree.
Sorry,
but that's okay. That's what we're here to do.
Yes, it is indeed.
All right, let's get on and try and tip some winners, boys.
Yes,
and St Kilda versus Carlton at Marvel Stadium at 7:50 p.m.
Pity that's a Friday night game, isn't it? Because you'd like a different matchup to perhaps be the marquee, although the Olympics are on, just to give us something a bit more than Carlton.
I'm not sure
and
what to expect from this game. Well, I'm off Carlton again. I've jumped off, and that's it.
They've just destroyed me this year.
Well, they have. Rowan Marshall, Hunter Clark, expected inclusions. I'm off Carlton. I'm picking St Kilda.
I'm picking St Kilda as well. I was impressed with what they did. Interesting comments by Lee Matthews during the week, talking about Patrick Cripps and how he feels that he's a player that's just essentially gone south with his performances in recent times because he's so banged up and he looks like a journeyman, and unusual for Lee to be that specific with regards to a criticism.
It is actually.
He's not that type of critic, shall I say. But, Patrick Cripps, interesting to see how he backs up this week. I want to see how Max King backs up again and see if he can do the same sort of damage against the Blues. But, the trust level for Carlton for me is zero. So Kilda.
Max King will play on Jacob Wiedering. Mm. So that's going to be that's an exciting matchup.
Good matchup for Wiedering. Want to see how he goes.
How many did the North Melbourne forward get last week? Larky, yes.
He might have been on Liam Jones.
I'm thinking Larky. It's Larky, of course.
All right, St Kilda for all of us, I think. They were, as I say, $1.48 with Tab Touch. Carlton, $2.65. That's about the right odds, I think, for that game. All right, Western Bulldogs versus Adelaide on Saturday. This game is at Mars Stadium.
In Ballarat.
It starts at 12:20 p.m. their time, 10:20 p.m. our time. Now, the Crows are starting to look a bit ordinary, boys.
Good luck, Western Bulldogs.
It's got the forecast for Ballarat. Actually, not too bad. It's 14 degrees.
And fine, sunny, and -3.
Yeah, cold. And Adelaide, gee, the Bulldogs, I think they'll have to Alex Keefe's a bit of a blow, just in the short term, hopefully back for the finals. But, the Crows, even though you said they're ordinary, they still stitched up your mob last week. So
you've got to ask questions about that.
Exactly.
How ordinary was my mob?
Yeah, the Bulldogs are very good. They were terrific against Melbourne in terms of just seeing off a late challenge. And I think they've
got the best player in the comp right now too.
Yeah, they've got a very good side and they'll be going pretty close to, they should be finishing minor premiers if they continue on this current vein.
So they're at $1.08 with Tab Touch. Adelaide at $8 with Tab Touch. That tells you what Tab Touch thinks. And I think we all think the same thing. All right. North Melbourne versus Geelong. This is at Blundstone Arena on Saturday, 1:15 p.m. Their time, so 11:15 a.m. our time. What's the forecast for Blundstone Arena, Skeet?
And I can hazard a guess.
North Melbourne, $6 with Tab Touch, Geelong $1.13.
Probably a good reason for that. And our thoughts go to Ben Cunnington, who's got a tumour on his testicle, so he'll be having some treatment for that. Very concerning, obviously, for Ben, one of our favourite players here on the podcast.
Well, and they'll miss him in Hobart.
They will miss him in Hobart.
Shower too, by the way, 16 degrees, so not horrendous, but
Zerha's also sore and may miss, so there's a couple of significant outs there. North have done a really good job, but I think Geelong, too much to lose to drop this game. Higgins test, Selwood test. It's a long way away. It's not that far as the crow flies, but Hobart's a different kettle of fish. I think Geelong should still be able to get this job.
They've got a 26-point head start at the line, North Melbourne. And to be honest, they have been covering those lines regularly in the past 2 months. And David Noble, now he won't be, I'm not saying he's coach of the year, but he has been an absolute success story with this side.
Yep.
From what he's done from the start of the season and from what we saw early days to what they are now producing, albeit Carlton were abysmal last week, I've got a lot of time for what he's doing with them.
You have confidence in the build, don't you? You think that the platform there is the foundation of that build.
They bought in.
It's going to be a reasonable structure.
And they bought in, haven't they?
Yep.
And I think what you look for is 8A graders. And you're starting to see the basis of that. You're starting to see Taron Thomas has the potential to be an A-grader. Jai Simpkin has the potential to be an A-grader.
Larky.
Davey Zuniak has the potential to be an A-grader. Larky has the potential to be an A-grader. Zerha has the potential to be, at the very least, a very good B-grader. Mm. So you're starting to get up into that sort of realm where you go, okay, they've only got to find two or three more. Ben Mackay looks to have some hope to be a very good tall defender. Mm. So they're starting to build something pretty reasonable.
And Stevenson's proving to be a decent pickup. There's enough there. I still think they need to be looking for that extra star power just somewhere where it's traders, just to give them a bit more beef and gusto through the midfield. But, Geelong to be winning. But I don't think this will be as straightforward as what
they'll just want to get down there, get the job done. No injuries, get back home and just look to the next. That's what Geelong
agree.
Are looking at.
So are Geelong one of your two flag fancies now?
Definitely. They are now.
Oh, they have been for a while for me.
I've still got the Dogs ahead, But I think it would be a fascinating matchup if they were to meet in the finals. You've got two contrasting styles, and you've got, you know, a lot. I think the Geelong, you've got the steely veterans, and you've got Dangerfield, who's not played in a flag, and against this compelling Western Bulldogs side.
You know what's won me over with the Cats is their defence. And Tom Stewart, we talked about week in and week out, but watching them against the Dockers, albeit Freo were terrible on that night, just their ability and watching them shift and guard and block, they were just outstanding. And their midfield, I think Narkle's important to give them a bit of
They'll get Duncan back to the middle.
Duncan's massive. Selwood's a bit sore at the moment, but
Cameron. They're doing this without Cameron.
Their defence, how they're set up behind the footy over how the Dogs are. The Dogs just have to wreak control in the midfield. Yeah. If they do, they definitely can win
So if you work out between the two clubs, defence, I have Geelong. I have forward line, Geelong. The midfield,
Dogs.
Probably the Dogs.
I've got to say, I reckon forward line, you're right, but it's marginal.
Yeah,
I think defence is a clear win to Geelong.
I reckon the forwards for Geelong, you think Hawkins, Rowan, Cameron, Myers, although he's out for a bit, isn't he? So there's a couple of interesting elements there. But I've still got Geelong's forward line ahead. But yeah, right, it's both teams are really good.
Tomahawk. For his age, what is he, rising 33? Mm. He's a wonder, isn't he? He's playing as well as he ever has. And you know the other great thing about him? Like if we talk about team-oriented forwards, I reckon Josh Kennedy and Tomahawk almost set the benchmark for their acts for the team. They're very selfless players. And Tomahawk's ability to add the forward 50 ruck work as well, adds an extra dimension.
And go back 8-10 years and you saw Tomahawk have all those issues with his back.
Yep.
Really debilitating issues. You would not have put him where he is now, would you? So he's done a remarkable job to get his body back into the shape it is now.
And the other thing with the Cats leading into September, I just feel that now that the Tigers effectively are out of play, that almost is like the massive weight off their shoulders, Geelong, knowing we can beat every other side here and we know we can beat them. We know we've got every avenue to covered. So I just feel that they are the team, and they can change, but they're the team that – gee, I just reckon they're in good nick.
Makes me so glad I got on board right at the start and have never climbed off, Skeet.
You mentioned it a few times and it's only August.
Who'd you pick in the pre-season, Skeet?
I tipped Port Adelaide, so I'm not.
Duff?
Yeah, Geelong.
Yeah.
But
And then jumped off?
I'm being facetious that I did jump off a couple of times. I've been trying to clamber
that
back
does
on
happen.
Board.
That does happen during the course of the year.
I'll stick with the Dogs. I picked them in the pre-season, so I'll stick with them.
All right. Gold Coast versus Melbourne. This is on Saturday. It is at Metricon Stadium, 3:10 p.m., so 1:10 p.m. our time. Gold Coast is at $5 with Tab Touch. Melbourne is at $1.17. What are we making of the D's, boys?
Need to get their skates on, I think, from this point onwards. Interesting, Petraka, bit of a grumble with the knee. Now, expected to play, but there's some concerns over him at the moment, so they want to get him right. He's so important to them. Have the D's been worked out defensively? That's the point.
And what about, are they early ripe, early rotten, Skeet?
I don't think so. I wouldn't say that because the season is long. I'm not surprised they've had a bit of a dip.
Big pre-season.
Let's bear in mind where they've come from last year. I know that 2018 they were thereabouts, but they've come from a fair way back.
Duff's got a theory on the pre-season though, haven't you?
Well, Darren Burgess does big pre-seasons and sometimes his teams come again, so they'll always have this lull through this period of the year. Sometimes they come again and sometimes they fade. So I'm not ruling them out, but I think they're a watch this space team over the next month.
I totally agree. I think they've made great inroads this season. If they finish top four, which they should still be doing, that would be a terrific result from there. Lap of the gods, just try and get yourself back into a bit of a groove. But no, I think Simon Goodwin, they deserve a massive tick. We're all waiting for them to fall over basically every week from round two or three, but they've been very
– lose this, I think you can say they've fallen over. Well, I don't think they'll lose this.
No, but yeah, when I say fallen over, they're
– stumbled.
I don't think they're completely done and dusted just yet by any means, but you're right, there's a couple of teams ahead you think are travelling a lot better, and the Gold Coast Suns led by almost 5 goals against Brisbane last start and got beaten by 40.
They've probably got those small boy pants just around the knee area. They just need to pull them up and make them big boy pants.
The small boy pants. They have shown some signs of improvement, Gold Coast, but that would have been a very disappointing second half fade out against the Lions.
Yeah, we didn't see it. Obviously, we were at Optus Stadium, but that was remarkable how they fell away, or maybe Brisbane woke from their slumber.
All right, Collingwood versus West Coast. This game is at the MCG, an empty MCG, 4:15 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. West Coast is $1.60. Collingwood is $2.35. I'm reasonably confident about this game from West Coast perspective. What about you guys?
I am reasonably confident, and congratulations to Shannon Hearn.
That's a landmark event, isn't it? The first West Coast player.
300 games. Now, Bluey McKenna, having a few conversations with him over the years, doubted this would ever happen because of the travel factor. Now, people can poo-poo that, but I see the merit in that, you know, in the fact that you are on the kite a lot. Bluey sort of thought that apart from the fact that it took you a couple of years to really know how to adjust to that travel factor, he said it had a wear and tear on the body. So well done, Shannon Hearn, and by the looks of it, he's going to play on.
Yeah, he wants to play on.
Edge a bit forward with it.
Yeah, too. Two Dockers have obviously got past 300, right. So it is doable. But you're right, it's that extra 5 or 10% more difficult. The Eagles, possibility that Jack Redden comes back into the mix this week, Jack Petrocelli, likewise. We know that Liam Ryan out for at least a couple, probably won't return until the Derby. No Barras, no Shuey. I think we're all a bit nervous about their away form this year, but Collingwood have got their own injury concerns.
I think Jeremy Howe may be an in this week, but they've got obviously Darcy Moore still out. Pendles is out for the season. That's a big loss for them.
It's huge.
You're trying to make a case for them. The two Brown boys are out. They've just too many Warriors down, I think.
Yeah, I agree. West Coast will have to do a lot more.
It won't be a massive win, but I expect this to be about a 4-goal win.
They should be beating Collingwood, and if they've got any designs of making something of this year, they should be winning, as you said, with a margin of, as I say, 3 or 4 lengths.
I like what Robert Harvey is doing with Collingwood, not in terms of auditioning for the senior coaching role, but basically going, okay, what has been our area of weakness? It's been ball movement, so therefore let's try and move the ball. But what that means is when you get up against a well-drilled and well-established defence, they're probably going to turn it over and they're probably going to hurt you. I suspect this could be a bit of a margin in this game because I think Collingwood will be trying to move it and West Coast will be trying to sharpen up their defensive work. It may not be a good combination for Collingwood. So watch this space. I'd be concerned if West Coast don't win this comfortably.
Mm. Yep. Wettish conditions, though, forecast in Melbourne.
Concerned about that because their wet weather form isn't great.
West Coast, I'm saying. So that's the only caveat with all this, that they're probably not at their best when there's some sprinkles in the air.
All right, Essendon versus Sydney. Sydney is $1.40 with Tab Touch. Essendon is $2.90. This game is to be at the Gabba on Saturday evening, 7:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so 5:40 p.m. Perth time.
Now, you know, I gave you the news the other day that Buddy Franklin was challenging the decision striking against Luke Ryan. Well, we know the result that's come of that.
Astonishing.
It means he's free to play. Not only probably the Dockers.
How did he get off?
Maybe the Dockers not thinking how this happened, but also the Bombers are thinking, how so?
Yeah, I can't answer.
I don't know. I've no
flabbergasted is the best word.
Seinfeld, I'm speechless without speech.
Look, the AFL has fingers pointed at it. You know, big names, big games, etc., etc. There's some wonky tribunal decisions. Obviously, Buddy is counting down to 1,000 goals. I'm wondering why. A, he wasn't fined for the challenge on Nathan Wilson because I would have thought there wasn't much difference between that and what Josh Tracy did to Buse the week before and Tracy copped a fine. We're all staggered that he beat the suspension. But also, I'm wondering why they weren't taking a second look at the Alex Pearce tackle. Alex Pearce has concussion.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like the Nick Natanui tackle on Carl Amon a couple of years back, which got Nick Natanui a week. So there's a lot of gates being open for Lance Franklin.
Very grumpy last week, Buddy. Very grumpy.
He does tend to live on the edge, doesn't he, in his footy? There are so many times you think, wow. And he gives away a lot of free kicks and he has been fined quite a few times from memory. But he has this innate ability on time to time to get off things that you think.
Away from his young family, that could be playing a role in that. I mean, the Sydney has got a lot of kids, so that's why they're probably playing so well.
So you're talking about.
They've been away for a while, Sydney.
We're talking about an incident on the football field.
I know. What I'm saying is a bit grumpy.
Yeah, it doesn't explain how he continues to beat these.
I can't believe he got off that.
I think the AFL sometimes invokes the big name, big game rule with these things.
Luke Ryan played on, and he played at the match, so that was. I'm just trying to think of what was put.
He also jumped on top of him and tried to strangle him. So that told you what Luke Ryan thought of the act.
Mm.
And when you watch, there's a particular angle of it, and you can see Ryan's head get absolutely rattled by the blow. This was not an insignificant blow. This was not an accidental blow. This was not a careless blow. This was an intentional blow.
It's a blow to Essendon as well because they've got to face him.
So I'm picking Sydney here. I didn't like Ben Rutten's comments about, you know, if we make the finals, we'll just be making up the numbers. Some people will say, well, that's honesty, good on him. Nah, don't like it. If you're going to make the finals, have a crack. You've got to make the finals. I think it's invaluable experience, even to play one final, even if you lose. You've got to know the level that it goes up to.
They're in reasonable nick now.
For me, that's a bit of an out. Giving them a bit of an out. And I don't like that. They'll hear that language, the players, so I didn't like it at all.
No, well, I had the argument with Carl Langdon on radio after the Dockers game. I think they won, lost, whatever. I said, well, surely for this young group, and Essendon's in the same boat, playing a final has to be preferable to finishing ninth or 10th and wondering, oh, what would it be like to go through the preparation of a finals campaign, albeit maybe for one game? And he said, if you're not winning the premiership, there's no point being out there. I'm thinking, well, that's just for me.
I think you've got to play finals, but I think in Freo's case, they've got a tough finish to the year, albeit a few home games, hopefully. They've got a lot of injuries now. But Essendon, I think, can make the finals and they can actually achieve something
in the finals.
So don't give me this nonsense about, you know, we'll be making up the numbers. It's just silly.
We'll get to Fremantle in a minute and we'll talk a little bit about that because I think we summed it up reasonably well the other day. But we're all tipping Sydney?
Yep.
Yes, but I expect Essendon to be within a couple of goals. And Sydney keep playing really good footy. They're down by 17 last week. They won by 40. Maybe they're going to be better than what we all thought.
Well, their ball movement. This is a great coaching audition for Don Pike. The change in their ball movement from one year to the next with his arrival at the club. We know he was known for Adelaide's ball movement when he was there in 2017. If you're someone like Collingwood or even Carlton, you'd be sitting up and taking notice, wouldn't you?
He's in the mix at the Pies,
for absolutely. Sure.
The Pies, big time.
Have to be in the mix at Carlton as well. Have to be.
Okay, Hawthorn versus Brisbane. Brisbane is $1.15 with Tab Touch. Hawthorn is at $5.50. This is at UTAS Stadium in Launceston, 2:10 p.m. on Sunday, so 12:10 p.m. our time.
So I just was looking at the injury list today for Hawthorn, and given apart from the obvious,
he's
outs,
making excuses.
Sicily,
already,
no, I'm not. I'm saying Day, Gunston, Impey, season. So they've just put the fork in them now, and I'm putting the fork in Hawthorn, and I'm saying the queue is in the rack.
Does it worry you whether if they win the spoon or not?
Doesn't worry me. Okay. No.
Would it worry the club?
You know what? It probably would have. I don't think so. I think we've gone past that. I mean, you're going to get probably be the Jason Horne Cup, won't it?
Well, Brisbane won't be in the running for Jason Horne, but certainly, Hawthorn. Their effort levels have fluctuated significantly in recent weeks. Shall we just say that?
It's been strange, hasn't it? When you get toweled up by the Crows at Marvel, you know that there's some holes in your squad, as you said, quarters, quite rightly, with the injuries.
Then you draw with Melbourne.
Clarko's coaching manual his A-grade coaching manual tends to come out against the more fancied opponents.
Well, Brisbane are a fancied opponent, but whether there's a fire in the belly.
I don't think there's much to gain in the last month.
Exactly. Look, it's more about the question marks against Brisbane and what they can come up with on the weekend, whether they can beat the Gold Coast, another questionable victory if they get over Hawthorn.
Poor first half. They want to get off to a reasonably good start here.
They need to actually make a statement on the weekend.
So what are you looking to see from Brisbane to reassure you that they're still?
I want to see four quarters. I want to see a start. I don't want to see a lethargic start thinking that we'll just work our way into the game and we know we'll come over the top at some point. I want to see four quarters of sustained effort. I want to see their forward line actually running both ways as well. I want to see a bit more function from there. They look a bit bereft down there without Hipwood, so that's what I'd like to see.
It's a big loss, isn't it, really, when you think of what they've got. Lockie Neal's fitness has been a bit up and down. It's a bit sore, so that remains to be seen. But, yeah, they've fallen off the pace a bit. 2 months ago we were saying they were the form team of the comp, and now
doesn't take much to get it back, though. It'd be a real shame because they've had a good season. They've put themselves in the frame. They can still win it. I just don't want to see them drop off from here.
Are we wondering whether too much has gone wrong? You mentioned Hipwood. We don't even talk about Rayner because Rayner was gone
so long ago
before round one. Darcy Gardner, we haven't seen him for a long time now. Is he going to come back or is he gone for the season?
No, I'm not sure about him.
So that's basically their first or second target in attack, their best mid-size forward in attack. If you call Charlie Cameron a small forward, Rayner's probably their best mid-size and their second best defender. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And I think what they have to do, not dissimilar to the West Coast Eagles, for instance, they need home finals. The travel factor is not so pronounced, but they do need – the Gabba is such a place where they really get beaten. They play so well there, so they need to find the find a way to host at least one, hopefully two finals up that way.
We're tipping Brisbane?
All yes. of us, yep.
All right, GWS versus Port Adelaide. This game is at Metricon Stadium, 3:10 p.m. as we mentioned earlier on the podcast, on Sunday, 1:10 p.m. our time. GWS is $2.80 with Tab Touch. Port Adelaide is $1.44 favourite.
It's a tough game to call.
I sweated on this game.
Very. I think I might have tipped GWS in the paper, I think.
Well, on exposed form, so GWS, where are they?
They're just outside the eight. They're within striking distance.
So they're
of the
sort eight. Of the yeah. The opponent Port can beat any if they were in the top yeah. four. If it was Brisbane, I'd be picking Brisbane. Put it that way. Look, I'm picking Port, but not with a lot great deal of confidence. Their travel's not been great this year. Their ability to beat sides above them, as I mentioned, has not been great. I just think they fair bit to lose. They need to keep the momentum going. I'm picking them on that. GWS a bit too scratchy for me.
Yeah, so Port Adelaide are fourth at the moment, 52 points next to their name, an inferior percentage to Brisbane, who are a game
they
behind
don't
them.
Feel like a fourth team.
No,
though,
you're right,
they?
Not at the moment, but that's possibly an upside for this team because they haven't played really good footy for a while, and as you said, up against the better sides, they have been found wanting, but I'm not sure that GWS are a top-level side. So I'm actually – this sounds reasonable. I'm just going on ladder position, very much basing my tip on Port Adelaide. And I think some of those young players back, Butters, Dersmer, I think. Robbie Gray, interesting to see when he returns because he's such a barometer for them. I'm not –
He's 2 or 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, I'm not buoyant on them long-term, but I think they can probably finish top four, all things being equal.
So – I know this was the one when I did my tips, this was the one I struggled with most, and I have a strong feeling I went with GWS. So trying to tip a little bit of an upset there, may be proven wrong, but I think I haven't liked everything I've seen about GWS this year, but since round two when they had that debacle against Fremantle, I think they've been significantly better. So I reckon they're in the mix for this and don't rule out an upset. All right. Fremantle versus Richmond. It is at Optus Stadium on Sunday afternoon, 5:10 p.m., 3:10 p.m. our time. Fremantle, $2.50 outsiders with Tab Touch. Richmond, $1.53 favourites. Now, you were having the conversation about, you know, Fremantle, mathematically possible to play finals. I think we probably got to a point the other day where we worked it out that the best way to sum up Fremantle is that we don't think they're making it. We don't think they should be continuing to play injured players, but they still should be going out there every week, going absolute gangbusters to win the game.
I think that's what they're going to do. That their manpower, we know, is going to be down significantly at the weekend. Fife, Walters, Pierce, concussion, Darcy, question mark. They're running low, but they're half a game outside the eight as it stands. So while you're still out there, throw as many punches, dare I say, in a football sense, and then see where you land.
So you can still have the finals window open. You can amble along with injured players and possibly eat into next season, or you can have surgery, as they have with Fife this week, roll the dice a bit with some younger players and have a red-hot crack
be brave.
Over the last month.
Be brave.
And if you manage to somehow, with a few home games hopefully, somehow manage to jag it, a finals berth, what a invaluable experience for that group of players. So you're still saying, no, we're very much still in it. You're just relying on younger players a bit more.
Got to imagine Nathan Fyfe will be spewing if they turn up and play in an elimination final or something like that, won't
they? Well, they've played pretty well without him, to be honest with you. If you look at the matches he's missed over the past few years, they've played reasonably well. Now, whether Nathan O'Driscoll gets the opportunity this week, not so sure, but they're going to need some players.
I think Pierce out is a worry for me. We know Sonny Walters isn't playing anymore. He won't play again this year. He's forward. What have they got in?
Well, they'd have to play finals. For
yeah, they'd have to play.
And Darcy has for them to win this weekend will be really competitive. I mean, Lloyd Meek, to be honest, is just a good, solid backup. He's not going to lead your ruck for a long term.
But if Darcy plays this week, well, Darcy we expect to play this week, right?
I reckon they may not have any choice. Yeah. Like, he may be the one banged-up player they've got to send back out there because I think he can go forward a bit. I didn't mind Meek last week. Springer Townsend did our ratings, absolutely hammered him. I thought he was better than that. I thought his first half was really encouraging. Then he ran out of a bit of puff, but he hasn't played at AFL level for a while, so probably the intensity of the game got him a little bit. If they can play Darcy Ford a little bit more, play Meek in the ruck a little bit more, Toby Nankervis is a very formidable ruckman. They need a formidable opponent for him. It may be that they roll the dice one more time with Darcy and then see where that gets them.
Prestia and Broad tests too. Yeah, I think we expect Prestia
to play and Broad, Neil Baum saying, yeah, it's 50-50. But I think this game comes down to one element.
Richmond.
I'm picking Richmond, you?
I am, but I'm going to say how Richmond approaches this game will determine they've got the talent, they've got the motivation, they've got a lot of things in their favour, but whether they have thought internally, gee, this is getting a bit hard this season, we can't win it, so why are we going to go through the motions? That is the one element that gives Fremantle just a glimmer, I think, on Sunday.
By the way, you're talking about harsh ratings. It's not the harshest ratings. I remember working for the Sunday Sun many years ago. Neil Roberts, the Brownlow medalist, great fella. He used to do some ratings for us. Melbourne played Collingwood in a final. Steve O'Dwyer, the Melbourne ruckman, didn't play such a good game. I think he might have even fallen over his teammate's knee and they did an ACL at some point. Anyway, the rating, he gave him -2. And Scotty Palmer, who's the sports editor, sent it back and said, Neil, you can't give -2. He's got to get 1 at least. He said, no, -2. And the little description was set new bounds for football stupidity.
You know, it does remind me very briefly of a story Michael Thompson told me when he was working, I think it was West Side, what was the afternoon? The weekend newspaper here.
West Side Footy,
yes. Was that the
run by Alan East?
Yes.
No, it was a contradiction in terms. West Side East.
This was the actual weekend newspaper here in WA.
Oh, the weekend news.
Weekend news, exactly. So after each match on the Sunday, you'd see that the one line quote from each coach from the WAFL. And Tomo had to go and interview Mel Brown after the Bulldogs had been towed up, I think maybe by Swan Districts, emphatically. And so Tomo sort of, you know, coaches back then, we're thinking Ken Armstrong, Brownie, Toddy. You had to have your helmet on going into the rooms, particularly if they'd lost. So he's gone into Brownie and said, look, you know, Malcolm, can you give us a line for tomorrow's paper? And he goes, come here, I'll give you something. Carter, weak. Stasinowski, putrid. Vigona, useless. Michael, below par. And Tomo said, you want me to put this down as your quote for tomorrow in the paper about your side? He goes, No, just put very disappointed. And that was how it rolled back then.
All right, we all on Richmond?
Yes, we are.
We are.
Okay, but I think, Skeet, you're right. I think that the attitude Richmond takes into the game will have a big say in the result.
Absolutely. I mean, they were absolutely smashed by Geelong last week, but every mistake they made, Geelong capitalised. And, as I said, we both and all agree that Geelong are close to premiership favourites. Richmond are still a side that can cause issues for a team like Fremantle that are down on manpower.
All right, let's move on to everybody's favourite segment. It's time for
mail. Hello, human.
You control
human.
The mail. You control information.
Josh's mailbag.
Hello, guys. Good to be back in this seat. I haven't been here the whole time. That's a bit weird. Boy Named Sue, probably my favourite Johnny Cash song.
Good song.
There you go. Zach from Margaret River. Now, Zach's had an audacious attempt to win a free carton. We haven't given away a juicy topic carton for a while. I've actually asked sales a couple times, so putting the blame on Denny and stuff downstairs. Anyway, g'day boys. I've had a cracker idea for a juicy topic of the week. Wasn't the person who got picked for the juicy topic of the week originally supposed to win a carton of Biggie Juice? My question is, have you fellas been claiming those on the sly and drinking them on the weekends?
Thank you very much, Zach.
I did see Josh walk out seriously with a carton underneath his wing yesterday. I'm not sure what it was. I swear on my life he had a carton of something under his
carton
wing.
Carton of veggie juice.
It was a couple of cartons of Feral. That is actually unrelated. they're looking for a collaboration in some sort of comedy video or something like that. Yeah. Could I please have one of those cartons? Thank you, Zach. From Margaret River. I'm a burnout, that's for sure. Oh, no. And he also says, please, quarters, don't tell the story of how you attempted to paddle out at Bell's Beach again.
Okay.
Okay, interesting feedback. Let's move to Liam from Kelmscott.
Thanks very much. Look forward to your next bit of correspondence.
Is there a question attached to that, or I just want a prize?
It's just a bit of a vent, and also he wants a carton.
Actually, I'm going to tell that story next week. I like that story.
I like it too. Liam from Kelmscott here. G'day to the gang. Fresh from seeing the tribunal reaction decision for Buddy, is there not some external body that can overrule this rubbish? Not one media person or journalist said that it shouldn't be less than a week, and yet we are here. We have a stupid matrix we follow that somehow arrives at the conclusion that elbowing players in the head is only a minuscule fine for a millionaire like Buddy. Surely the whole MRO system is scrapped and reworked at the end of the year.
We know the AFL and the tribunal can become involved at the whim of the powers that be. This incident, though, Duff, wasn't at the high end in terms of injury sustained, etc. So that probably...
Does it matter? If it's wrong, it's wrong.
But I think the problem is that they would need a significant injury to the player who's... I'm a little bit surprised that he didn't find his way to the tribunal for Alex Pearce, to be honest with you. Like, that's an over-the-boundary line tackle where he's driven him into the ground and his head's hit the ground.
And Pearce isn't playing this
week. Mm. So that, to me, might have been their recourse of action to basically say, well, we think the MRO is stuffed up here. We think he should be at the tribunal for this as well. And I think he gets weeks for that.
Interesting to see if they get through a preliminary final into a grand final. He's on 999 goals and he goes for something similar. It'd be very interesting to see what happens then.
Well, he'll be playing, won't he?
Wouldn't be the first Sydney.
As Trent Cotchin did and shouldn't have played, by the way, in 2017.
Wouldn't be the first Sydney full forward superstar to get off on a charge on a preliminary final weekend, if your memory recalls.
Barry Hall up
2005, yes. Behind play, which was deemed to be in play, even though it was 50 metres away from the play. And, of course, they won the flag the following week.
Thank you very much, Skate. Now going to Fred, a.k.a. Streaky Bayboy 65. That was his email. I quite enjoyed that. Don't know if he wouldn't like me reading that. Can the team comment on Luke Shuey's ongoing arm lift tactic when tackled? The laws of the game say it should be not yield a free kick. Is it Luke's fault for continuing to do it, or the umpire's fault for continuing to pay the free, or his coach's fault for seemingly doing nothing to curb it?
I think under AFL rules you can lift the arms and you can't go for it. That's right, isn't it, if you're trying to wriggle out of a tackle?
Yeah, I think a couple of times this year Luke's done it and the umps haven't paid the kick. A couple of times he's done it and they have paid the kick. They still pay Joel Selwood free kicks.
Yep, they do.
It's up to the umpires to, if he sees him shrugging the tackle up, it's up to the umpire to say, well, we think you've contributed to the high contact, so therefore we're calling play on. If you stop paying the free kick and it starts to cost the team, then Adam Simpson will tap him on the shoulder and say, please stop doing that. If it's not costing the team and he's still getting some free kicks, Adam Simpson will say, well, while it's better for us that you do it, keep doing it.
And I suppose it's incumbent on the tackler to somehow find a way not to go over the shoulder. I mean, if it's legal, then as frustrating as it is to watch,
it is,
if you're an opposition supporter, if it's within the rules, and whether it's Selwood, whether it's Shuey, trying to think of other players that do it, but they're the two that stand out.
Yeah, current players.
Yeah, you think, well, you know, find a way to get around it. Selwood's would have received, I reckon, dozens.
Hundreds.
Yes, hundreds over the years, yes, in that basis.
Eli from Caulfield, Victoria.
Caulfield. So I'd say racing, Caulfield Cup.
Victoria.
Yeah, no, we love Caulfield.
Gotcha. Anyway, Melbourne.
Caulfield, mate, that should be the sound of hooves.
I don't have that in front of me. Okay, you fine. Now throw
just
me out of the bus.
Just a suggestion for next week. Right,
very good race course.
First one guy brings up the cartons, now you, far out. Why have the Eagles not tried Jared Brander as a backup ruckman to Nick Nanui? It seems like they've experimented all year with Bailey Williams, Vardy and Oscar Allen. You haven't found the combination that works. Brander is taller than Allen, clearly talented and showed quite a bit of promise off the wing earlier in the year, meaning he could provide some midfield run when not in the ruck. Any reason why this hasn't happened?
Well, they tried McGovern last week.
He's the best trade bait for the Eagles at this point, I think. That's looking beyond this year. I think he is, if you're trying to bring something to the club, try it in terms of draft selection-wise, he is the one that I think you could get some value for.
Yeah, it's a good call. I mean, a young player has to be comfortable playing the ruck role. You don't want to stick someone in there who doesn't really want to do it. I'm not sure how I would feel about running in with my eyes on the ball with Toby Nankervis's or Shane Mumford's knee coming at me from the other way, unless I was a 200-centimetre monster.
He's somebody who hasn't played a lot of footy.
Yeah, he's not really, I mean, that's not his craft, as Duff has always pointed out. He's a forward, a key forward who has been put in a side that's so so well covered in that department.
This was the great conundrum for West Coast at that 2017 draft, wasn't it? They didn't expect Brander to get through to pick 13, and he did, and they thought, he's the best player on the table, we have to take him. They didn't expect Allen to get through to pick 21, and he did, and they thought, he's the best player on the table, we have to take him. But we thought that would be a midfield draft for West Coast, and it ended up being a key position player draft. Now, they ended up getting Liam Ryan as well, and they ended up getting, I think, Jack Petricelli later in the draft, and they ended up getting Tim Kelly, who was also in that draft, back from Geelong to boost their midfield. But the problem is they have this embarrassment of riches in their key position stocks, and they're struggling to find out what to do with them. They clearly don't want to ruck Oscar Allen, but if they put Oscar Allen in as a forward, they have to play a ruckman, and that makes them too tall. I think it's been a problem for them all year, and it continues to be a problem. Unless Jared Brander puts his hand up and says, I want to play, I'll play as the backup ruck, I doubt Jared Brander is going to be the backup ruck.
Wouldn't have thought so. And funny, though, that we look back at, in hindsight, at those you didn't draft, and St Kilda, I read this week, the angst that's been caused by Alan Richardson, who's been thrown under the bus, about the push he desperately made to get Nick Caulfield to the club instead of Aaron Norton. And so we talk about Fremantle missing their chance. Well, other clubs are saying exactly the same. How come we've taken a mid who's a reasonable player, but certainly we're talking...
They've got a pretty decent forward up there at the moment, though.
They've got one, but there's so many... We look introspectively about WA clubs, but there are a lot of teams out there that have got the what
if. The draft is full of them.
Of course there are.
Every club is guilty.
It's a science, but an inexact science.
Correct.
How good is Perth?
All right, so let's go to Corey in Kingsley. Now, he had a pretty controversial PS after his email. I'll read that one first. PS, Seinfeld is the most overrated show ever.
Sorry, that's it from him. Goodbye.
Yep, thank you very much.
All right, it's been great having you.
Philistine, really?
If the AFL Grand Final is played outside Victoria again this year, would the VFL contract with the MCC-MCG be somehow terminated or altered to allow true national competition where the Grand Final changes venue on a rotational basis? The way the competition is currently going, it's a Victorian Football League trading as the Australian Football League. If it doesn't change, Pricktoria, it's a language warning, gets their way as per usual.
That's a cheap shot. Contract.
Contracts are made to be broken, though, Quarters.
A contract is only the starting point of negotiation for a new contract.
Not this one.
But not this one. No. And I think if you did a poll of players, and even West Australian players, they would prefer to play the grand final at the MCG. It may be that if you're going to play grand finals at the MCG, it may be that there should be some sort of trade-off in some other way. Maybe if a team that finishes second on the ladder, let's say Collingwood, in 2018, gets to host a grand final against West Coast at the MCG when West Coast has finished higher in the ladder, i.e. the situation in 2018, maybe Collingwood should have to forego a home game to West Coast at some later point.
Yeah, it's a hard one to negotiate. But look, Quarters, we love the MCG, grand final day, outstanding.
Australia's best venue.
But what last year showed us, and the Gabba is not a great venue, but what it's shown and put into the mindset of a lot of football supporters is, should the MCG have the next 45, 50 years unfettered access to the biggest day on the Australian rules football calendar? Now, I love it, but just seems like to have it locked in for so long seems as if we're putting a...
I'm not sure if we won't eventually go to a grand final series so that contract can still be honoured.
I hate that idea.
I'm not big on it either, but I can just see them going down that path down the track.
We have to have best of three in that scenario.
Yeah, you would have to. Yeah.
I just think in signing that contract, the AFL forfeited the right to make them pay for it. And make them pay full tote odds for it. If we're having economic surveys that are telling us that a grand final in Melbourne is worth $100 million to the Victorian economy, then hit them up for $50 million a year and use that money to fund Gold Coast and GWS and even St Kilda and North Melbourne, the clubs that are clearly struggling to keep pace with the growth of the competition. Get something out of it. You know, if we're going to compromise the integrity of the competition, which clearly it is, if you brought in some overseas integrity expert to analyse the way we run our competition, they just wet themselves laughing at the way this is done. So let's get some money for it.
Yeah. And bear in mind, prior to 2018, there was no justification in terms of venues to hold the grand final anywhere but the MCG. The only way that's come about now is because of what we have in Perth and to a lesser extent Adelaide with the redevelopment. Outside of that, there's nowhere really in Australia apart from the MCG that is worthy, I think, of hosting the grand final.
Yeah, I'd agree. It may be that the Gabba post the Olympics will get to a point where they can
do it. That's 2032, and if we're still sitting here talking, then we'll have a celebration of some sort.
Yes, we will. Yes. I'm sure we'll have a few celebrations between now and then as well. All right, thank you very much for joining us today. We hope we've tipped you a winner. We hope your team goes all right. We touch wood or whatever else we can get through another weekend of fixtures without COVID interruption. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. You can get closer to the AFL action with Tab Touch. Please gamble responsibly. Please call Gamblers Help on 1800 858 858 if you run into any difficulties. Thanks, boys, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
If you're a fan of the podcast, why don't you send a message to Josh's mailbag? Have you figured out how to fix footy? Are you trying to settle a debate with a mate? Or maybe you just want two of Australia's most experienced footy journalists to turn their attention to an AFL issue of the week. Send to the mailbag at josh.garlep, that's G-A-R-L-E-P-P, at wanews.com.au. And also remember to like, subscribe, and of course, tell your mates so we can make this as big and as good as possible. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast on The Game.
You know who? It's unbelievable.